All right, Kelly Robinson, thank you, everybody, and happy first weekend of August. Happy day. Nick, Carissimi and I were just talking off air about the fact that the weather has it's moderated a little bit. It's not 112 like it was a couple weeks ago. This is a lot better, and I hope it's going to get better this coming week. It looks like parts of Texas might get a little rain, might look a little cooler weather. Those are all good things in August. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning us in. The thing that would make it even better would be if you'd pick up that phone and give us a call right now, if you will, please. We'd like to hear from you. Let's fill up that phone bank. My call screen page is needing some refreshing and some new names on it, and I'd like to see your name there. It's toll-free anywhere you can hear me. Nick's voice will be the first that you'll hear. He'll talk to you and find out what city you're in and what the call pertains to. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080. We're here every Saturday, just a little after 11 until just a little before 12, to talk about the plants at your place. And I'm really counting on you to pick up the phone, give us a call right now. If the plants are not doing as they're supposed to, this is the time to call. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can figure out. I have a very active Facebook page, and lots of things have been going on there. And I'd like to have lots of things going on right here. A lot of times it's better if I can converse with you back and forth and ask you questions about the plants, because sometimes we need to know what the plant is, or I need to know a little more detail than people give me. On Facebook, it's just a killer when somebody just says, "What's wrong with this?" And I'm looking at a photo of a front landscape, and I don't know what plant they're talking about. I don't know where they are. I don't know anything. This is our chance to talk, but you have to be proactive on it and pick up the phone. Dial 888-256-1080 live for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. We broadcast to about 30 stations, ranging from the South Plains, the Lubbock, Leveland area, La Mesa, all the way to Alpine, to Corpus Christi and Victoria, Bryan College Station, Waco, through Brownwood and Crockett and Madisonville, and then on along the Red River. It's a wonderful broad swath across Texas, and it causes me to need to think about, where are these folks calling from, and what are the plants that they're growing in that area? It makes it a lot more fun. But it's the most fun of all if you'll pick up that phone and give us a call. What do you plant in your vegetable garden for the fall right now? Too late for tomatoes unless you're in the Valley or Corpus Christi, way south in Texas. What do you plant in your vegetable garden at this point? Well, you'd plant beans. You might plant, if you have any potatoes left from your spring garden, that you've had stored, you could plant those. Or if you have a source of seed potatoes that have not been sprayed with a growth retardant, you could certainly plant those. You just don't want to plant grocery store potatoes. I don't know how well they would sprout. I've never tried that. I've just always read that you don't want to plant those because they have a growth retardant on them to keep them from sprouting. Other things you'd plant now would be squash, and we're talking about summer squash, the crookneck and zucchinis. You'd also plant right now, and when I said beans, I mean green beans, bush green beans. Cucumbers would be planted now. So those are some crops that go in now, and in a couple of weeks, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts from transplants. And then the leafy and root vegetables late this month. All of that shifts a little bit if you get along the coast. Shift it back by a couple of weeks. If you're in far north Texas, then if we're in the Panhandle, for example, we're talking about planting the coal crops, broccoli, cabbage, etc. Right now, you could do those now if you can find transplants. If you're thinking about planting a new lawn, that needs to be done immediately. One of the other things that you need to do right now, if you have pecans and you're really serious about protecting your pecan crop from hickory shuckworm and pecan weevils, you must spray twice during August. Malathion is an insecticide that is labeled for these insects. You spray the first week of August, you're there now, and then about the 20th or 22nd of August, you would spray again. Hickory shuckworms get into the shucks and tunnel around within the shucks. They cut off the supply of water and nutrients to the kernels themselves, and they will cause the pecans to hang up in the trees and not to fall in November at the normal time. You'll have them falling in January and February and March, and when you pick up a pecan that falls at that time, you'll realize this doesn't weigh anything, and you open it up and it's just hollow on the inside, and that's the reason. Pecan weevils eat out the kernel, and you'll see their damage where they've just chewed up the kernel. And both of those you can control with malathion at this time. Now, if you have pecans that are falling right now and they have black spots or blotches on the husks, then that's pecan scab. That's a fungal disease that began back in the spring, and it's too late now to spray for that. But a fungicide applied each time that you spray pecans during the summer would be the help for that one. Plus, growing a variety that's adapted to your area. Yeah, pecans are kind of a workout if you're really serious about trying to produce a crop of pecans. I live in a pecan forest, and I have to tell you, in all sincerity, I don't spray my pecans. I take what I get, and I let the insects and diseases have what they insist on taking, and the squirrels. And we have enough. There's enough for everybody. I'm not just a diehard liberalist in terms of not wanting to spray anything, but the equipment it requires to get up into the top of a tall pecan tree, I'm not going to spend that money. I'm not going to store that big equipment. I'm not going to rent it. I just don't want to do that. And so that's the decision you have to make. And if you're in the commercial business, it's a very different story. You do buy that equipment, and you do take care of the trees in that way. What else? If you're planting a new lawn, you need to get that done ASAP. If it's St. Augustine or Bermuda, because that gives it the longest possible time to get rooted into the ground before cold weather arrives and stops that growth. And so now is better than 2 weeks from now is better than 4 weeks from now, etc., etc. But it definitely needs to be planted by the middle of September. So those are some things that need to be done right about now. Those are things we can talk about. If you're having struggles with your St. Augustine or even your Bermuda lawn, let's talk about that. If you have questions about what you can plant for some fall color, that's what we're here for. I'd love to hear from you. And again, all you have to do is pick up that phone and give us a call. It's a toll-free call. If you can hear me, you can call me right now. 888-256 1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. 888-256-1080, please. Let's get those lines filled up right now. 888-256-1080. Well, the time has arrived. The book will come out of the book bindery sometime this week. This is the third printing, not the third edition. This is the third printing of Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening. 840 of my photographs, 344 pages covering all aspects of landscapes, lawns, and gardens for all of Texas. I've told you that this offer will go away without notice, and I'm giving you some notice. It will go away in the next few days because it is printed and it's at the bindery and they are about ready to ship. It will ship sometime later this week, I am told. And once we get delivery on it, the pre-production offer is gone. This is your chance to save the most on the book. The only way you can buy it right now is to order it online at neilsperry.com. NEILSPERRY.com. And this is so much better than my cowboy boot book. You know, that book you see in the stores and on Amazon that has the cowboy boots? That's not this book. This book has Adirondack chair on the cover. It's our yard on the cover. And it's only available from my website and by calling my office. And for this low price of $26.95 plus tax and postage, that's only good for a few days more. You either need to order it right now today from the website. That's the way to be sure you get that lowest price, or call Monday and order it from my office. It's 11 chapters. Chapter 1 is the basics of gardening in the Lone Star State, what you need to know to get started. Chapter 2 is a calendar, 48 pages, 4 pages per month of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all of the plants in your landscape and garden. People tell me that's the most useful thing. I've never put that in a book before. And Chapter 3 is comprehensive. It is on trees. Chapter 4 is shrubs, vines, ground covers, annuals, perennials, lawns, fruit, and vegetables. I worked a year to do this book, and you'll find it to be the ultimate reference, I think. Personal opinion, I'm a little jaded on it, a little biased, but satisfaction is completely guaranteed. Third printing, the pre-production offer, expires in days. Now, the book will come out of the bindery sometime this week, and when we take delivery, then it will no longer be at $26.95, but indeed $33.95. If you don't have it, get a copy for yourself. If you want to buy copies as gifts, go for it. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, not on Amazon and not in stores. Won't be, isn't now. The third printing. Here is the website, neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com. The phone number for Monday to call, 9 to 5 Monday, 1-800-752-GROW. neilsperry.com is the better place. Order it right now. Homegrown goodness, that's what Mueller is all about. They've been producing quality steel buildings for more than 85 years. Now you can grow a Mueller greenhouse right in your own backyard. They're easy to assemble, bolt together greenhouses. Come in four sizes, from 6x9 to 12x18. They feature a galvanized steel frame with more than 30 designer trim colors from which to choose. With hail-resistant polycarbonate panels, lockable walk doors and windows, a Mueller greenhouse will let the sun shine in while it protects your plants year round. Don't let the weather ruin what you've worked so hard to produce. Get a great greenhouse from a Texas-grown company. Visit them online at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call today at 877-2-MUELLER. That's 877-268-3553. MuellerInc.com. Mueller means more. And we'll have more after this message. Very much, and we will get right to the phone lines. We have a line open right now. If you'd like to call, you can grab it, but hurry. It's 888-256-1080. Kelly just told you that, didn't he? 888-256-1080. Jeff is in College Station. Jeff, good morning.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a fig tree that's about 6 foot high. It's a small one, and about two and a half months ago, there's a little shoot coming up next to it, and we were able to dig it up and transplant it in a pot, and it's been growing like crazy. It's up about 2 feet now, and here in the last two weeks, the leaves have been turning brown from the outer edge inward, and once they get brown, then the whole leaf falls off. Leaf stem and all at the main shoot.
And right, and that's off. Only on the one in the pot.
Yes.
And the mother plant, this was a shoot that came up from the mother plant, from the fig.
Right.
All right, and the mother plant is doing fine.
Right.
All right. A couple of questions I have before we go any farther. You said it's 30 inches tall, 24 to 30?
More or less, yeah.
All right, and how much of that is new growth from the time you potted it up?
All of it. It was about 6 or 8 inches when we got it out of the ground.
Okay. And it had roots of its own?
Yes, it did. A nice root system.
That's unusual. It might have been a second cutting in the original pot. It's unusual for them to send up sprouts beside the mother plant. Some plants will do that all the time, like Yaupon hollies. It's just a part of the way they grow, but not so much figs. All right. So that means that it took off. It was happy. How large is the container it's in? Is it a 2 gallon pot?
A 2 gallon pot. We put new planting soil in it, and they have a saucer. And yesterday I went out and I poured some water out of the saucer. So I'm thinking, I don't know how much it was watered.
Water. Let me ask you a couple more questions and we can get right to that one. The leaves that turned brown, did they turn yellow at the edge before they turned brown?
No, they turned brown.
All right. And did that start at the bottom of the plant or the whole plant at the same time?
The bottom of the plant and work its way up.
All right. 2 gallon pot for a 24 to 30 inch tall fig is minimal. That's a small pot. My guess would be, when you start losing lower leaves on a plant with leaves as large as fig leaves are, a plant that needs as much moisture as figs do, That means it's gotten dry at some point, usually. Usually they'll turn yellow and then brown very quickly over about a 2 or 3 day period. And then they will drop. If you've ever had a poinsettia that you let get too dry in the wintertime, you know what happens to them. They drop all their bottom leaves and you end up with a palm tree with the no leaves and this red thing at the top, you know. And that's kind of what it sounds like your fig may be doing. I think the fact it had a saucer with some water in it may have been coincidental. But my guess would be that it got too dry. Probably if you're very mindful of watering it from this point out, it will send out some new leaves or it will continue to grow at the end. Is the top of the plant healthy still?
Today, so far it is.
All right. I would be tempted to repot it into a 3 gallon pot or a 5 gallon pot, which in reality is more like 3.5 gallons in size, with a good potting soil and give it a little more room. Or put it into the ground if it's growing that well. I'd put it in the ground and then just be really mindful not to let it get dry. Figs are sensitive to moisture.
We were just about ready to put it in the ground so it could establish before the
I'd still
winter.
do that. I would still do that. Yeah, I'd still
All
do
right.
that. And at some point, you may want to take the growing tip out of it or the end few inches, 6 or 12 inches, and force it to send out some branches to make a shrub. We don't usually train figs as single trunks. It may do
Right.
that on its own anyway. But that's my guess. That the other guess I was going to go for, but since the mother plant's doing all right, is your water. Your irrigation water in College Station has a very high sodium content. I grew up in College Station. I'm all too familiar with how soft the water is, and that can eventually cause problems with the plants. If you have it sitting in a saucer and every time you water it, the water accumulates in the saucer and then soaks back up into the pot, then the sodium never has a chance to leach out and be gone. You might take it out of that saucer, set it on the patio or set it on bare ground, water it heavily, get all of the excess mineral salts out, and start from a starting point then, and then put it back on the saucer
I'll
and
check our
start
water.
over.
We're actually just outside of College Station in Snook, and I think we're on a
Okay.
well system, this city well. But I will
You
check
could
for that.
ask the city. You could ask them what
Right.
the you didn't think I'd know where Snook was?
Well, you grew up out here. You know where it is.
I know very well, you bet.
Good. Good.
I grew up at the time when Snook beat us mercilessly in basketball. Not no Snook. All right. Well, have a great day.
Neil,
Appreciate the
thanks for
call.
taking my call. We'll give it a shot. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. You bet. All right, let's see where we are. Tomas is in Corpus Christi. Let me come back to Tomas because that may take just a couple of seconds. Robert in Sweetwater, and then another call, Larry in Brazos County. Thank you all for calling. I'll move as quickly as I can. It looks like the questions will be pretty good, pretty easy to do that. Neil Sperry's eGardens is my free electronic newsletter. It comes out every Thursday, just a little after 6, and it comes directly from my computer to your computer. I hope you'll sign up for it. I think you'll find it very, very useful. I spend about a day or day and a half a week writing. The stories for eGardens are always 5 stories. I have 2 friends who write for eGardens also. Diane Sitton is masterful in her photography and the creativity of her stories, and she will be writing for the next issue of eGardens. And then my buddy Stephen Chambly is just a fabulous horticultural writer. Just the breadth of his stories, the heartfelt breadth of his stories. And Stephen will write for a week from now, a week and a half from now. I hope you'll give it a try. You can always unsubscribe, and we do not ever spam you. Don't give or sell your email address to anybody. It is free. Like I say, it comes out just about 4 minutes after 6 p.m. on Thursdays. We have about 54,000 people who have subscribed. I've been doing this for many, many years, and this is something I would love to have you take a look at. This past week, 2 days ago, one of our lead stories had to do with growing Plants in the shade where turf grass has failed for you, and I have a bunch of photos of my own lawn in it. The whole story was centered on what I've done with a lot of shade issues at our home. You can see eGardens. You can see that issue if you go to neilsperry.com. That's where you sign up for eGardens. Click on the eGardens tab and scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see the August 2nd issue of it right there. Click on that, and you can see it. But do sign up while you're there. neilsperry.com. That's where you buy my newest book as well before that special runs out. neilsperry.com. Click on the eGardens tab. I hope you'll subscribe. We'll have more after these messages. All right, and let's go right back to those phones. As promised, we have Tomas in Corpus Christi. Tomas, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Neil.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I have a question. I live on Padre Island, North Padre Island.
Yes, sir.
And I have two empty lots on both sides of me. And I originally, about 18 years ago, when we moved in, I put out all the landscaping rock and I planted Bermuda. But no sprinkler system. And I kept up with it as much as I could. And, of course, you know, I couldn't keep up. So I ended up putting in a sprinkler system, and I planted a St. Augustine.
Okay.
Tried to get as much of the Bermuda out as possible. We pretty much planted on top of the Bermuda.
Okay.
And so my question is, well, we had to turn off our sprinkler systems for 3 months, and in those 3 months, my lawn went from looking awesome, you know, very little weeds, if any. Mm. To now the weed fest out there on the island. So I got the system turned on, and I had a company come out, and they said they could, you know, treat it and it would go away. And they were there for 3 years to no avail. I let them go, and I've been trying to weed and feed it myself.
Okay.
But I think I'm just fighting a losing battle because the wind comes right down my street and it blows all the seeds from the weeds into my yard from the two empty lots. And I'm just wondering, am I fighting a losing battle? Or
not necessarily. Let me work with you on it. First of all, let me ask you for sure and make sure I'm on track. Your lawn is now, you are trying to reestablish it as St. Augustine, correct?
Yes.
Not Bermuda. Okay. St. Augustine, of all of our grasses, I was just writing a story this morning for eGardens, the thing I just did the ad on that will be next Thursday, just comparing lawn grasses. St. Augustine is the dominant grass. It's the king grass of all of our grasses. It'll crowd out all the others. It does a better job if it has water, as you found out the hard way. And it does. Yeah. There are a couple of weeds that it won't crowd out. It will not crowd out nutsedge or nutgrass, and it won't crowd out Dallas grass. But all the rest of them, including Bermuda, if you have good water and good care, St. Augustine will crowd out the other grasses. So I wouldn't give up and just say, well, it's a losing battle because of that stuff down the street. Obviously, if there's a huge source of seeds coming in from right next door, maybe the city, if you're in a part of North Padre that has a city code of any kind, maybe they can be forced to mow to keep the seeds down. But I think you can do this. The secret with St. Augustine is to keep it as healthy as you can and keep mowing it at 2 or 2.5 inches to keep it short and spreading so that it's nice and dense. Nothing much can invade it if it's low and dense.
Okay. 2 to 2.5 inches.
Yes, sir. That's the optimum mowing height for St. Augustine. Some people mow it higher than that, and when you mow it too high, and this is true for any, it's also true for Bermuda. If you mow these grasses too tall, they stretch upward to so to say reach the sunlight, and they get thinner. The turf gets thinner, and so weeds can get a start. You need to be using a high nitrogen or all nitrogen fertilizer. I have to confess that. I have never lived on an island by the ocean, and I know your soil is going to not hold fertilizer very well. It's a different environment, and so you might want to check with nurseries right in your area and ask them What is the best thing to use? But my guess is going to be it's going to be all nitrogen, the first number, and you want half of that nitrogen or so to be in a slow release form so that it doesn't just go on and get dissolved and taken out of the in the sandy soil instantly. It'll be a timed release form of nitrogen. And if you do that with water, you should be in good shape. As you and I both know, I love St. Augustine. I grew up in College Station with St. Augustine, and it's my grass of choice. But man, our lawns have their issues. They have chinch bugs and gray leaf spot and brown patch. They have a lot of problems. And so,
I got
like,
gophers too. Gophers always popping up.
yeah, and
Putting
like a lot of our other friends, they have baggage and we put up with them, and so we'd learn to cope with them. I haven't dealt with gophers because gophers in the black clay soil that I live around, they don't like that. We shipped them all to North Padre Island, said, go down there, they'll love you down there. So, but I think you can do it, and I wouldn't give up just because you got behind those 3 years where you or that time when you couldn't 3 months when you couldn't water.
I had beautiful grass. I could walk out there
That's a
without
killer. That's just a
sandals
killer.
or anything. And now, oh my gosh, I dread
Okay,
having to
here's
walk
my
out there
proof,
with
Tomas. Here's
sandals.
my proof to you. Here's my proof. It was North Padre Island before you showed up and developed a lawn there. Before there was a lawn, it was just an island, and a lawn was possible. All right, so when the St. Augustine died because of 3 months of no water, it went back to kind of being like North Padre Island. You can get it back there. It happened once, it can happen again. There's my proof.
Yeah, and I have grass, and it looks, you know, when you cut it, when we, every time we mow it, it looks great. But in there, I know there's stickers down in there, and I don't dare walk on there without shoes.
Okay, are they grass burrs, sticker burrs?
Yes,
Regular grass burrs.
the real
You
live
can
ones.
get rid of those with pre-emergent weed killers. They're granules you put out before they germinate. And for you guys, the timing of that is going to be kind of a challenge because you don't have a real winter a lot of years. But if you'll find a really good nursery, and work with them, they'll help you. They'll guide you as to the timing. It's probably going to be in January, where you put out a pre-emergent granules. It's going to be something like Halts or Dimension, and you put those out to keep them ever from sprouting. And you'll have to do it again every 90 days through the spring and summer. But you can
Yeah, I was
stop those from
listening to
coming up.
I was listening to a few weeks ago, and you had said, well, if you haven't put it down, it's too late now. And I'm like, God, I
Well,
forgot to it.
and there's where I put a disclaimer, and I want you to keep listening, but you have to, and that's where the disclaimer is that if you're right on the coast, it throws the dates, the timing off a little bit. And so I need to have you adjust that a little bit. Let me refer you to my electronic newsletter because I make those adjustments there for you, and that will be a good place for you to get those. And the book that I mentioned has those adjustments made. I'm not, but the newsletter's free if you prefer to be there. So, hey, I got to run. I have a couple other calls I want to make sure I get to pretty quickly. But thank you and good luck with it. I hope I was helpful. Thanks for that very much. Robert in Sweetwater, you'll be coming up next. Stay with me if you will, please. Let me send you to neilsperry.com. That's my website. That's where you can buy my newest book at this last chance offer at $26.95 for the pre-production offer before it comes out of the bindery and is shipped to our office. And I start signing and mailing the books. This is your last chance, and that's at neilsperry.com. That's where you order the book. It's where you sign up for that free electronic newsletter. It's where you see my 1,000 most asked questions and a lot of other information at neilsperry.com. Go there now. Take a look. NEILSPERRY.com. We'll have more after these messages. I am enjoying this program very, very much. That was a challenging call and a fun one. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to Robert in Sweetwater. Robert, thanks for waiting. How can I help you?
We have a large oak tree in our yard, and it has all these little bitty oak trees come up. We cut them off with a weed eater. They come back. Is there anything we can do about that?
All right, let me sound like a psychic and ask. This is a live oak, I'm assuming, right?
Yavo, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, you're not going to like the rest of my answer then. And I'll just warn you ahead of time, it's a not an not a really common problem. It's about 10 or 15% of our live oaks that we plant from acorns and grow on, about 10 or 15% have the genetic trait of sending up root sprouts. These are umbilical root sprouts. They're tethered to the mother tree. That means that we cannot spray them with a weed killer because they're part of that mother tree, and anything you spray on them gets taken to mama. Might kill the mother tree.
Gotcha.
And so what you're doing is one option, either mowing or trimming them. That's not very fulfilling. I know that's not any fun. The other option, another option, is to go out after a rain, and occasionally it rains in Sweetwater. I've heard that rumor.
Well, not, occasionally, but hadn't in a while.
Not so much this year. Yeah, I know. It's true
yes,
for
sir.
All of us. And you take a sharpshooter spade, and you go in at about a 30-degree angle and sever those 3 or 4 inches below the ground. You're not cutting the big root from which they arise, but you're cutting the sprouts. Well, that's a boring way to spend an afternoon, but that way they're gone. And the next year you'll have some more that'll come up, but you won't have the big crop that you have right now. So that's another option. There's no good answer out of this thing.
Well, that's as good as option I can ask for, because I've got a sharpshooter, and it's something that we can ever get a rain. Oh, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, it will work. I have the same problem with some yaupons, some tree-form yaupons, but goodness gracious, my yaupon covers about 100 square feet, and a live oak covers about 1,000 square feet, so it's a little bit more of a problem. But unfortunately, that's the third option is to put some kind of landscape weed-blocking fabric down and then cover the whole thing with rocks so that you camouflage it. And you don't really see anything. I don't want to have rock all across my landscape like that. That's not good. So, no good way out on this one.
Okay. I can use a rock deal. We've got some rock in some flower beds and stuff, and so I can, we might be an option too. So
The rock itself does not stop the sprouts, but it's the landscape fabric you put down. You waited 20 minutes for me to give you that sorry dog answer. As my son, who works in media, has said, I now have 20 minutes of my life I'll never get back. Robert, I appreciate your call.
Hey, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. All righty. See you later. All right, Larry in Brazos County, let's see what I can do to help you. Hopefully more than I did Robert. Larry, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Yes, sir.
We're in North Brazos County. We're northeast of Edge.
Yes, sir.
We're out in rural area. We're living on basically converted pasture where I maintain about 3 acres with a shredder. We've had some construction recently, and because of all the traffic, it's beaten down. I've got about 900 square feet of what's going to be mud if we ever get rain again.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to make a walkable surface, something that will take light traffic and keep the mud down?
All right. And is this going to be turf in any way, or is it just so you can get out to tend
to
something?
No, we're not cityfied enough to put turf down.
All right. So you just need a field of grass that you can walk on
after a rain. I would say ground cover, but something that would take traffic.
Well, ground cover is a lot more work and a lot more expense than grass. I'd rather have
okay.
you. Okay. Is the bahia not going to come back in this area?
I think the bahia will eventually come back.
Yeah, it's pretty assertive.
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm just trying to sort through what my assignment, my homework is here. Do you ever have a class where you kind of wondered what I just got assigned?
I had 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah, I did too. I sure did too. I would probably try to get Bermuda going in there as a temporary cover, knowing that the bahia may crowd into it and not caring if it did in your case. That would be my guess. Now, do you have any access to irrigation for that 900 square feet? That's not a very big area.
No, and it's actually more like a 150-foot strip that's broken into sections and about 6 feet wide.
Okay.
I can hand water
Now, I don't want you hand watering. I was hoping you could have a hose that you just left out there. With Bermuda grass seed, which would be affordable, you'd want to scuff it lightly if it's in any way packed at this point.
Well, yeah, we're on combination of sand and clay.
Yeah, you'd want to scuff it lightly and then sow the seed at 3 or 4 pounds per 1,000 square feet. But then you're going to have to water it twice a day for about 5 minutes each place.
Would it work to lay out some sort of soaker hose?
No, you need to sprinkle it. You don't want it just really, soaker hose isn't going to carry left and right at all. It's just going to go straight down. One of those cheap old fashioned hoses, you're just doing it for this one year, for one season, those long 50-foot hoses that put out a spray, that would work.
I know what those are.
Yeah, that might be the solution.
Okay.
So I would probably do that, and I'd do it sooner rather than later because the Bermuda needs some time to get started. But you cannot miss, you can't miss much time on the watering because the Bermuda seed is so tiny that if you let it get dry, it will die in 12 hours as
Ooh,
hot as it is.
Okay.
So you have to keep it moist. Water it morning and evening for about 5 minutes per location. And when you're through, you could roll the hose back up and save it for another year for any other use you might have for it. Don't fold it. It'll bend and get brittle.
Yeah. But, we've done that with one or two of them. So.
Yeah. I think that's what I would probably try.
Okay, Neil, appreciate it. Didn't want to have a hog waller when we get the rain again.
No, I understand. Well, I hope that helps. Thank you much. Appreciate the call. Let me tell you once again, this may be the last ad now that I'm going to do for this special offer from my book, Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Remember, it's only $26.95 plus tax and postage. This has been the offer I've had for about 2 months now for the pre-production or the in-production offer for the third printing of this book. If you have the first or second printing, And don't need a second copy, there's no need to buy this. But if you don't have it, or if you want to buy one to give as a gift, this is your chance to save a lot of money. It will be $33.95 when I get my supply and we start selling the third printing. It is $26.95 as the pre-production offer. My book is called Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. I worked a year to do it. It is more than a quarter century newer than my Complete Guide to Texas Gardening. That's the one you find in the bookstores and on Amazon. That's an old book now. This one is not in stores. It's not on Amazon. 11 chapters, 840 of my photos, 344 pages, covering all aspects of outdoor gardening. I sign every copy of the book, and we're just about to take delivery. It will come out of the bindery sometime this week. It will be $33.95, which will be a great bargain, but it is $26.95 plus tax and postage if you buy it right now. Buy it at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com, or you can call Monday at my office, 1-800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769. But the better way is to nab it right now at neilsperry.com. There's a lot of talk these days about Made in America, but let me tell you about something that's been made in America for more than 85 years. Mueller Metal Roofing and Steel Buildings are made right here by people who care about quality of both materials and workmanship. Whether it's a metal roof for your home or a custom steel building or even a shed or greenhouse for the backyard, Mueller means quality. Mueller has 4 manufacturing facilities right here in the USA, and with 33 branches for sales and service, why, there's a Mueller location near you. When you choose Mueller for metal buildings or roofing, you're choosing the best quality products to protect your family and your property. And you're supporting local jobs and local families, ordinary hard-working folks who are proud to provide a product right here in America it's been made. Mueller Metal Roofing and Steel Buildings, more than 85 years of making customers' dreams come true. When a business has been around for 85 years, you can trust they're doing things right. They give you a more beautiful home, greater comfort, and better peace of mind. Visit MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call at 877-2-MUELLER. That's 877-268-3030. 3553. Mueller, made in America and made to last. More after this message. Thank you, Kelly. And we have only about 45 seconds. Bill is called from Normandy. I'm not going to try to get it on the air and help. He says plants that deer don't like, to develop that list would take the rest of my life. And I hope that's a lot of years. The best thing to do is go online, Bill, and I would look up Travis County Master Gardeners, deer-resistant plants. They have put together a really good list. I would do Aggie Horticulture, deer-resistant plants. That's exactly what I would do, and you'll pick up some other lists out of the Master Gardeners in the Hill Country. That's exactly what I'd do. Aggie Horticulture, deer-resistant plants. That'll help. Nick Carissimi, great job lining up fun calls today. To all of you who have listened and participated, thank you very much. Until next week, happy gardening.